We'll continue with Thus Spake Ramana. We've arrived at number 53. Men speak of divine visions, yet paint them differently with the seer in the scene. But even hypnotists can make one see strange scenes and phenomena, which you condemn as tricks and jugglery, whereas the former you extol as divine. Why the difference? The fact is that all sights are unreal, whether they come from the senses or the mind as pure concepts. This is the truth. All visions are unreal. All concepts are unreal. And the use of visions and concepts is precisely to deny one's lack of being as an ego. It's all a defense, a facade, an effort to try to boost oneself from lack into positive being without discovering what is real, which requires entering fully into the lack, the emptiness, the nothingness, and discovering there in the egolessness the pure presence of the self. Ramana goes on, knowledge knowing itself is jnana. It is then the knower, the known, and the knowledge which connects them. Knowledge is the light which links the seer to the seen. Suppose you go to search for a book in pitch darkness in a library. Can you find it without light? Although you and the book and the object are both present, but light has to be present to unite you. This link between subject and object in every experience is chit, the intelligent consciousness. It is the substratum as well as the witness of all experiences. What is meditation but mental repetitions of a concept? It is mental japa, which begins with words and ends with silence, in the silence of the self. Meditation and control of mind are interdependent. In fact, meditation includes mind control, the subtle watchfulness against intruding thoughts. In the beginning, the efforts for control are greater than actual meditation. But in due course, meditation wins and becomes effortless. Have you reached that state where meditation has become effortless and you have won the self? Or are you still detained by the ego mind and its fear of emptiness? Ramana goes on, in deep sleep you are entirely free from thoughts because the I thought is absent. The moment the I thought rises on waking, all other thoughts rush out spontaneously. The wisest thing for one to do, therefore, is to catch hold of this leading thought, the I thought, and dissect it, who and what it is, giving thereby no chance to other thoughts to distract one. There lies the true value of the vichara and its efficacy. So, have you dissected your I thought? What does it mean to dissect? It means you cut it open. You enter into its entrails. You discover its core. What makes it tick? What makes it keep producing thoughts? But what is it in itself? And if you get to the core of the I thought, you discover that it doesn't represent anything at all. It's a total fantasy, simply created by an identification with a body that has been given a name, but has no sense of who it really is, or its purpose, or what is the nature of reality. It is a lost soul. And to compensate for that lostness, it creates fantasies of understanding. It creates false jnana. It creates a sense of mastery through master's discourse. But it cannot find real mastery, because real mastery requires the death of the ego, the elimination of the false, of that which is only a representation, a name and a form that is an appearance in consciousness. And to attain real mastery requires the return to consciousness itself, in which you are nameless and formless, and have no history, have no parents, have no traumas, have no impulses, drives, desires, fears, in which there is the purity of being, untouched by anything that is an appearance, a phenomenon, a passing phase, an element that is extrinsic to consciousness itself. Merely a content that comes and goes. And so we must let go of that plane of becoming and representation in order to discover what is real, what cannot be dissected, the bedrock, the ground of being, the absolute self. And only then is there true empowerment and mastery. Only then is there true liberation. That self that is uncreated, that is the true essence of your being. Have you come to abide as that? Or are you still subject to the ego narratives and to its denial of lack, or to its wallowing in a false sense of lack that is simply based upon the disapproval of others and the enjoyment of opposition and rebellion, but still not real? Either the positive or the negative ego are defenses against the self that is inconceivable, and that to the ego mind is the great mystery. But until we plunge into that mystery and discover the pearl of great price at the core of our consciousness, we cannot find peace. We cannot feel true joy or love, or know the light of the Supreme Presence that is liberated from both life and death. Now is the moment to discover the real, to become free from the anxiety and the despair, the terror that is overtaking the illusory world, in order to emanate peace and bring goodness, purity, truth, love, and joy back into the world. But it can only come from the source, not from the ego's fantasies. Are you willing to do what is necessary to become real, which is to annihilate the ego mind and to abide as the silence of the self in total presence and eternal power of being? May you be graced with the peace that comes of popping the narcissistic bubble, dropping the addiction to the discourse of the ego and its enjoyment of its sufferings and its jouissances that produce only a barren wasteland of inauthentic living. May you find the deeper peace of dropping all self-assertion at the ego level, all conceptualizing, all intentions, all rajasic running away from the stillness of the real self, and drop into the abode of peace that lies within in silence. And may you know the grace of supreme peace that comes of the realization of the timeless presence of the supreme consciousness, infinite in scope and intelligence, beauty and love, and know yourself as having forever been and always shall be only this absolute one.